Well, hello, and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to conclude our series on VR Church. So, way back when, in the long-forgotten past before World War III started, we were reading an article about a VR church and how advocates of virtual church are saying that it's not only the wave of the future, but it's the superior way to function as a body. Now, I posited that we needed to test this theory. How? Well, we needed to find out if VR church is compatible with human nature. So, this forced us to ask three questions. One, what is a human? Two, what human needs does church meet? Three, can VR church meet those needs as well or better than in-person church? Now, a while back, we answered question one. Humans are physical beings made in the image of God. And as physical beings made in the image of God, we naturally have certain physical needs and theological needs that can only be satisfied physically. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the things that are commanded, or which I believe can be reasonably inferred to be commanded, or at least normative, for the local church in their Lord's Day worship gathering. We came up with this list: prayer, fellowship, communion, apostolic doctrine, offerings, public scripture reading, preaching, and singing. Now, as a reminder, if you're listening right now to this episode and your memory is being jogged and you're thinking, oh yeah, I remember Luke talking about that. Man, that was brilliant and well put, and I need to hear him again on this topic. Well, then you're the only one who thinks that. But if you are that only one who wants to hear what I have to say again, you can go to LukeNagy.com, and you can find these episodes as well as at BrianFBC.com, that is BrianFBC.com, and you can hear all the Truth in Journalism episodes from the past couple years, as well as other sermons and teachings. Anyways, like I said, the list of things that are commanded, or might as well be commanded, for the local church are prayer, fellowship, communion, apostolic doctrine, offerings, public scripture reading, preaching, and singing. And last week, we looked at each of these individually and asked what needs these met. And I must say that I pretty heavily emphasize the physical needs that these elements of corporate worship meet because, well, physical needs are actual needs. And I know I say this a lot, but it's because it bears repeating. The idea that there's some kind of distinction between physical and spiritual or physical and theological is a false dichotomy. Let me give you a perfect example. In 1 Corinthians, we read this: "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses and the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Okay, now, please. If you are someone who thinks that the spiritual and the physical are binary opposites, please interpret this passage. Now, I'm not saying that the physical and the spiritual are the same. Not at all. They're different categories. But there is such a strong Platonic impulse in Christianity that we forget that God put on flesh, or more literally, in fact, God became flesh, which is fascinating. It doesn't say that God put on flesh, in fact, but rather that the Word became flesh. This isn't a divine soul inhabiting a physical body. Whatever the Word is, that Word became contained in flesh. Now, you might not like that, but that's as close to literal as I can interpret John. My point, however, is this. Stop thinking of the physical as some terrible curse or burden weighing down your soul. You are your body, and God designed your body to be good. And God created your body with physical needs and desires that correspond analogically to God's will. And I've talked about this at length in other episodes, so I'll just give a couple rapid examples. God created people to need water so we would recognize our need to fill ourselves with something life-giving. God created human intimacy so that we could desire intimacy with God. You get the point. I'm hammering on this because we need to agree from the beginning that we're going to take physical needs seriously. Why? Because they're real needs. Secondly, because theological needs manifest physically. But as the great theologian B.A. Baracus was known to say, enough jibber jabber. So let's get on with it. Okay. Can VR church meet the human needs for the items we listed? Let's look at them in order to find out. First, prayer. Can we pray virtually? Yes, we can pray without ever hearing another person even. I often meet with a group of pastors for prayer, and rarely do we all pray out loud. Normally, we simply pray in silence together. We can send prayers through email and text and various media, and that's good. More prayer in more media is good, but there is something special about every eye closed and every head bowed, especially every knee bent, as the people of God join in prayer. Is there something special about that? Yes. Especially when people are able to share and explain their needs in person on a Sunday morning. It matters. Now, again, this doesn't mean that praying silently or over the phone or through some kind of text is bad. It's good, but it's suboptimal. Suboptimal isn't bad. Suboptimal can be good. Suboptimal can be great. It's just not the best. And most of the time, in most of life, suboptimal is more than good enough. It is more than sufficient. Suboptimal is sufficient in most of life, but it's not good enough for Sunday worship. It's not. We should always seek to have the best spiritual disciplines and the best spiritual practices in place, or at least to be working towards them. Church is not a place where good enough is the goal. Our standard is to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I could go on for a whole episode, a whole series of episodes about this, but we have to keep on moving. So short answer, no. VR Church, while it is able to do prayer in an acceptable way, is not as good or better than in person. Second, fellowship. Can you have fellowship that's as good online as you can in person? I mean, I don't actually have to answer this, do I? I mean, the new teleconferencing technology is a blessing. My family all live at least an hour away. Anytime when my kids want to talk to their grandma or great-grandma or uncles or aunts or cousins, we have a video chat, and that's great. But getting together in person is so much vastly superior. Short answer, no. VR, while it can provide a kind of fellowship, cannot provide fellowship that is equal or better than in person. Third, communion. No. Short answer, no. There's so much theology into not only the sacrament itself, but the method whereby we receive it. No, just no. Can't do communion virtually. Fourth, apostolic doctrine. Okay, now here's an interesting one. Can you follow the doctrine of the apostles as well virtually as in person? I'm tempted to say yes. And in fact, with the exception of the recitation of creeds, which I talked about last week, and why it's important to do it that way, I would say that since we're separating this from public scripture reading and preaching, that apart from creedal recitation, there is nothing that is lost that is so significant that it can't be done virtually. When it comes to knowing, believing, and living the doctrines of the apostles, I don't want to say that virtual reality can do anything as well. And frankly, if I had collapsed doctrine into preaching and scripture reading, if those were all one thing, we wouldn't say that VR can do it as well. But to give VR as fair a shake as possible, we'll say that on this one, it can be done as well. Or at least it's so close that it's not worth fighting over. Fifth, offerings. I think that depending on your mode of collection, it can be done as well virtually as in person. I prefer to pass the plate because I think it's important to model giving and for us to see each other giving. But since many churches don't do that, I'd say at least in those instances, VR Church can provide offerings just as well. And we know that at least among the first century Jews, when they gave to the synagogue for the support of widows, they didn't give at the synagogue, but they had collectors who would go around and collect the money. And it's possible that the early church in some places followed this practice. So depending on how you view it, sure, I'll say for sake of argument, virtual can be as good. I think that in my world, passing the plate and modeling giving to each other is theologically important, but I also want to be as fair as possible to virtual church. And I recognize that that's not normative. That's not how a lot of people do it. And it's not how they've done it throughout history. So, you know, it's my preference, But for sake of argument, we'll say, yeah, it can be as good. Sixth, public scripture reading. This one is tricky. Part of me thinks that hearing scripture read publicly can be done as well virtually as in person. Sure, public scripture reading in a virtual medium is good. But is it as good? Is it as good as making eye contact and seeing body language, and hearing intonation, and seeing facial expressions? Is it as good as everyone needing to shut their cake holes so they can hear and stop interrupting? No. The social strictures of politeness model values and inculcate them. When you're hearing scripture read on a church live stream, you can mute it, or talk over it, or walk away from it. In physical church, You either act right or you draw the withering stares of old ladies. The social pressures we create reinforce our values. One of those values, yeah, by the way, if you're listening closely, you just heard me say peer pressure is good. Peer pressure often is good. Like when people say don't give in to peer pressure, no, sometimes you should give in to peer pressure because your peers know what's good for you. Okay, anyways, one of those values is that scripture is a great and good thing that we need to heed. What we do is not the only important thing. How we do it and how we model it for others matter a lot. Short answer, no, you cannot do the public reading of scripture as well virtually as in person. Seventh, preaching. Now, this is the part that's ironic. It's ironic because there are so many forms of preaching that occur online or in some non-in-person medium. I'm literally preaching on a Sunday in a not-in-person medium. I post my sermons online. I post my Bible studies online. I'm doing daily Bible study broadcasts on Facebook. I believe in the power of radio. I believe in the power of the internet. I believe in the power of these media to bring the Word of God to people. I think more preaching and teaching being made available is a good thing. I love that I can listen to some of the greatest preachers alive and many of the ones that are dead, all for free, whenever I want, on the topic I want. We live in an age of wondrous, blessed convenience. Information is hyper available, and that's a good thing that's dangerous. It's like fire. Fire is good, but dangerous. Indeed, I think most good things are dangerous. I think that's part of why there's a war on masculinity, because actual masculinity is dangerous. Many women have been hurt by masculine men, and 99.99999% of women will always be in danger from masculine men, because masculine men are dangerous. So instead, our culture is creating these pusillanimous, weak-willed, chai latte, skinny jeans criers who are in touch with their feminine sides and have no backbone, who have been raised by women, taught by women, and are being castrated, literally and figuratively, by women to be like women, all for the sake of women. And ironically, women are miserable. They've created a monster because nobody wants to see manliness no more. But a manly man is the only kind of man who can truly meet a woman's needs. He's dangerous. Oh, yeah. But women are dangerous, too. Don't ever forget that. True femininity is good and dangerous. Just ask Helen of Troy, but I digress. Preaching that's online is good, but it's not as good as in person. It can't be. Preaching is a one-time only event. You have to be there to experience it. It requires eye contact, and it's interactive between the audience and the preacher, or at least it ought to be. And I think we fear that interaction, and that's why so many people sit at the back of the church. They're afraid of the sermon truly being interactive, but you can't just audit a sermon. You got to take the test. Again, I could talk for hours on this, but I can't because I've only got about 2.5 minutes left. But short answer, no. Preaching virtually cannot be as good or better than in person. Eighth, singing. No. Just know, you can't do it as well virtually as in real congregational singing. I'm not even going to bother explaining this one. You've heard enough of my method and the way I'm going about this to figure out for yourselves why this is clear. All right, so in conclusion, yes, there is a conclusion to this extended survey of virtual reality church. In conclusion, the answer is no. Virtual church cannot meet our needs as humans as well or better than in person. But part of the reason we think that it can is because too many view church as a performance to be attended rather than a celebration to participate in. There are many, many reasons why this might be the case. And frankly, to go into why we have these distorted views of our church and what it is and how it should be would be the work of someone far more competent at historical theology, especially 20th century American historical theology. But whatever the reasons how we got here or why we got here, the fact is that we are here. And far too many Christians think that church is a consumer product rather than a spiritual workout / theological party all wrapped into one. And that, friends, is the evangelical notion that's killing us. We need to stop viewing church and Christianity more broadly as a consumer product, because it's not. Because Christianity is Christ, and Christ is his body, and the gathering that we call church is where the body celebrates its head, encourages each other, models its virtues and values, strengthens itself, and grows in wisdom and stature with God and men. We need to stop commodifying Christ. And one of the ways we do that is by recognizing that whatever benefits virtual reality and telecommunications may and do and will have for the church, they cannot replace the in-person Sunday worship service. Telecom tech is a great blessing of God. And we need to learn not only to live with it, but to harness it and master it and use it for the kingdom. But it's not a panacea. And if we treat it like the solution to every problem, we're going to be devastated when we find out that medicine becomes poison when used in the wrong dosages. Let's not fall into that error. Let's learn to celebrate the physical and celebrate Christ by worshiping in person every Lord's Day. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to his glory.